to get started a little bit early. Our teens were out early in the new year with quizzing, and so we're going to turn over to Brother Steve. He's going to tell us about our teen quizzers as we get ready for worship this morning.
Good morning, everyone. So yesterday we had a quiz meet. This was our fourth quiz meet of the year. And we went to Springfield One Life Church. There were 16 different quiz teams there yesterday. We were a person short. We had three quizzers. And this morning we're one short. Kate is sick. She woke up sick, so she couldn't make it this morning. But we did pretty well. The first half of the day, we finished 8th place out of the 16 teams. And then so they split everyone in half. We were in the bottom division. And when the day ended, the team, we finished 3rd place. So pretty good. Whoa. Give them a round of applause. And each one of them got a ribbon for finishing 3rd place. Jason turned it on in the second half of the day. Started answering quite a few right questions. And he got 8th place out of all the quizzers yesterday. So congratulations. It's been such a blessing to work with these teens. They really work hard learning the book of Acts, and I've learned so much about the book of Acts that I thought never knew. You know, they talk about terrorists in the book of Acts. I never even knew that. So it's amazing when you really dig into the Bible, the stuff that you learn, and it just blesses my heart to see them do that on a monthly basis. So congratulations.
Great to see everyone this morning. It seems like I haven't seen you guys since last year. I know, I'm funny this morning. I know. So we've got our first snow of the year, so now we can bring in spring, right?
No.
So we do want to say be careful out there in the parking lot this morning. There are a little bit of patches of snow, a little bit of black ice possibly out there. So on your way out this morning, do be careful, and especially this evening as you come back, be extra careful out in the parking lot. But we do want to say good morning to y'all. We've got a few people that are out because of the weather. We do still have some people that are still on vacation and out traveling. And then we, of course, always, it seems like, have people that are out sick. So be in prayer this morning that people are having a safe time, a good time while they're on vacation, and that they're getting well this morning so that we can get everyone back here as soon as possible. But how many of you had a good New Year's? How many of you decided to make a New Year's resolution this year? I made a New Year's resolution to not make a New Year's resolution. That way, when I don't keep it, I didn't do any good. So, but if you would, go ahead and turn with me to your bulletins this morning. I've got quite a bit that we've got to touch on this morning. We've got a couple different meetings going on directly following church, one being Finance Committee and the also be Buildings and Ground. Both of these meetings shouldn't take very long. They'll be directly following service this morning. Then tonight, if you've got a child that is part of the kids quizzing, that starts back up this evening. So have your child here by 5:45 this evening. And then tonight also, our financial peace class will be starting. It's a 9-week course that will be here at the church. For those of you that are taking part of this class and maybe haven't paid all of the money, please try to get that in as soon as possible. If you are in need of a scholarship, see Janet, see the pastor. We still have people that are willing to do a scholarship for those that are, you are in need. We just need to know as soon as possible as far as that goes. Ladies Fellowship, you will be meeting those that are on the council tomorrow evening at Brahms at 7. Then Wednesday, we will have our regular Bible study and our teens and kids meeting here at the church at 6:30. Saturday, if you have ever been part of Work and Witness, the district is having a meeting in Carthage at 10:30. If you're interested in going, you can probably see Pastor Don. Pastor Don is involved with Work and Witness, has been for several years. You can see him and probably get some more information on that. Next Sunday, Pastor will be starting a Pastor's Welcome class. He has gotten invites out to several of you new members of the church this past month. So for those of you that have gotten one and do want to go to that class, Pastor, where are you going to be meeting? Okay, so that west side overflow classroom next Sunday morning, 9:30 for the pastor's welcome class. And I wanted to make an announcement, a special one. If you are part of the SDMI committee, we haven't met the last couple months, but we do need to meet this month. So next Sunday, directly following church, we will have a brief meeting. We've got some events that are happening during the summer that we need to lock down some dates on. So we will meet next Sunday shortly after class. Then lastly, this is the day that those family information sheets are due. Try to get those into the office today if you have not turned one in. If you haven't turned one in but you need one of those forms, try to stop by the office directly following church, and we can still get one of those to you. But that helps make certain that as we're going into the new year, that everyone's information is up to date and current. That way, when we have possible weather closings or changing in times or events, that we can make certain we can get you contacted as easily as possible. So keep this bulletin handy. As we're starting the new year, we're getting into some new classes, some new schedules, so keep this handy for those dates and those times. If you would, go ahead and stand. We're going to go ahead and head into our greeting time. Find someone that you haven't seen this year yet and greet one another.
center of me. He's begun to abandon me. His hopes are so mean. And one has a heart ache. We all share the tears. And rejoice in his victory. His family's so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been one.
Si Joel, laking taytay. Kilala ako sa pangalang bayi. Dati akong pusher. First time kong makatik ng Cebu. Grade 5 ako. Ako isip bata eh. Kala ko astig yung gumawa ng sama. Sumubsob naman ako. Sobrang napeko ng pag-aaral ko. Imbis na 4 na taon kong tatapusin. Naging 8. 8 taon ako sa high school. Kasi nangyayari, papasok ako. Expired. Wala nang namats. Nagsyabu ka ng gabi. Puyat ka, wala kang tulog. Sabi pasok. Kaya pagka yung teacher, konting ano, nag-aaway kami. Tara pagod ako. Naawa ako sa nanay ko kasi nga, tubo ang bait ng nanay ko. Nahawa ko dahil sarili niya akong anak. Inumura ko yun. Kumaga, makaraniwala sa akin. Nanay ko, hindi naman kumikibo. Sobrang bait sa akin. Hindi ako pinalo ng nanay ko kahit kung wala nang dati. Hindi ko lang mapigilan na gano'n. Kasi lumakaya rin gano'n. Pangat na background. Kasi namatay na airpod ko, wala na kami. Anong buhay, wala ka. Dumating ako sa time na sobrang gipit na kami. Ang kakainin namin, puro hingi lang. Hindi ko naisip na ano eh, lumapit sa kanya. Hindi ako ganun kalalim. Naisip ko, yung marijuana, sabi ko makapagtulak. Makakasabay ba ako dito? Malaking bagay na tricycle driver ako. Kasi ang dami kong kontak eh. Ramdam ko na talagang huli na ako eh. Pwede ako, tanggap ko na sa sarili ko na makakulong ako dahil alam ko yung ginawa kong kalokohan. One time, in-invite ako ng kapitbahay ko si Jerome doon nag-church sa Nazarene. Wrong motive ako eh. Pinunta ko lang itong banda. Pag-attend kong ganun, naisip ko na ano, baka pwede kong baguhin yung buhay ko. Naririnig ko yung story ni Jesus Christ. Nag-fitlet sila. Kung gano'n niya ako kamahal. Kung gano'n niya tayo kaman, kaya sabi ko, bakit ko sasayangin yung buhay ko? Nag-decide na ako ng tigilan ng pagtutulok ng marijuana. Nag-pray lang ako kay God, sabi ko, Lord God, hindi na kaya. Sobrang pagod na ako. Bahala ka na. Kasi narender ko yung marijuana, di alam ko yung kung anong saan dadalhin. Ngayon, nag-isip siya ng paraan. Naganap siya na marunong sa batas eh. Alam niya, yung sabi niya, nakalista ka na. Posible hindi ka matunog ganun. Ngayon, tinulungan niya ako. Punta kami kay Mayor kinabukasan. Natanggal niya yung pangalan ko. Sinabi nga, nagbalik loob na ako sa Panginoon. Katapos na, umuwi ako. Hindi ko mapaliwanag, pero sobrang saya ng pakiramdam. Kahit alam ko na wala na akong halang pera. Ngayon, nasa ministry ako, tumutugtog ako sa church. Tapos, araw-araw naroon ako kasi naniniwala ako sa sinabi ng mga youth pastor namin na hindi lang linggo. Hindi sapat yung linggo. Dapat araw-araw yung worship ka sa kanya. Bala ko nun, hindi akong tetestimony, nahihiya ako. Pero naisip ko, nakakaya yung ginawa ko dahil masama nung ginawa ko. Pero hindi naman yung tetestimony ko, kung paano kung gano'ng kabuti pang ano ko, paano siya kumilo sa buhay ko. Linaano ko lahat, gusto ko sama mama ko. Ito, first time ko nasabi sa lahat na maraming tao, sabi ko sa mama ko, mama, mahal na mahal kita. ugali ko sa dati, pagkigad, baduy. Kumbaga, hindi mo ako mapapano. Pero nung tinanggap ko siya talaga, nalaman ko kung ano yung totoo. Ito pala yung astig. Buhay ko lang may bibigay ko sa kanya. Wala na akong ganun kaibigan. Kung adik ako, pag ako nagdadrive ng pasigil, pag sakay ng pasayero, tanayin ko, saan kayo? Pag salita na, hindi ko na pinapansin, sabi ko na. Kung saan ako naiyakit, hindi pala hindi na. Oh my God. Pero ngayon, mga nagiging pasayero ko ngayon, nasyesharan ko about kay Gani. Na ako, dati akong adik. Hindi ko na naiiya yun. Yun ako eh. Kumbaga, hindi ko na pinagmamayabang na ganun na ako dati. Sinasabi ko sa kanila, dati akong adik, ginagawa ko ng Panginoon. Gusto ko malaman mo, mahal ka ng Panginoon. Pusher pa rin. Aso, pusher ng ano, pusher ni God. Hindi na ako pusher ng maliwala, pusher na ako ni Cristo. Pusher ako ng tao para mapalapit kay Cristo. Dahil na lang ko, yun yung buhay. Yun yung totoong tama. Ang sinasabi nilang tama sa droga. Yung tama yun, yung mali yun. Ang totoong tama kay God.
Wasn't that a tremendous testimony?
Amen.
Praise God for a life changed. He said, I no longer push marijuana, now I push God.
Amen.
And that beautiful testimony. Thank God for that. I'd like to have our ushers come at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings. Bob, would you come and ask God's blessings on our offering?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day. Thank you now for this offering. Bless those who can give today, dear Lord. Bless each and every one here. Thank you for this day and ask that you would be with this morning worship service. Be with us through the remainder of this day. And we'll give all this thanks to you. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, my strength is in you, Lord.
Knowing you, there
don't know about you, but I'm glad that I have a God who listens. That whatever I face and whatever I'm up against, that He's interested in me personally. He's not just some large being who's too busy, but He's a God who desires a personal relationship with me, a God who knows me, has the hairs on my head numbered, knows every intimate detail about my life, but does not intrude. Sometimes I wish He would. Sometimes I wish He would just do what's best for me. But indeed, God allows us to pursue Him because we want to, because we love Him, just as He loved us. He doesn't force Himself upon us. He doesn't make us to do the right thing. He gives us choice. The good news is that if we seek His guidance and His direction, that He's plenty willing to help us make the right decisions, to pursue the right things, and to go the right way. I'm glad that as we begin a new year, that we can turn to Him. We can seek His advice, His counsel, that we can have His guidance in our lives. And as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, as we prepare our hearts, there are many things that are written within our prayer list on our bulletin that we continue to deal with. We continue to remember Debbie Brandstein's mother. We continue to pray for Sister Bert, who are in rehab. We continue to pray for Virginia Owen. And we want this morning to be praying for those. There have been numerous ones that have battled some of this virus and bugs and things that have been going around. And we want to continue to pray for those that we don't see in our midst this morning. Indeed, there are some, as Ben has already mentioned, that are still enjoying some vacation time. We look forward to them returning to us and pray that God will be with them in their time of refreshment and relaxation. We also want to remember Ted Montgomery this morning, who has been in the hospital since Tuesday with pneumonia and is still in CCU. Praying that he indeed will be able to improve enough to come out into a regular room. But we want to remember Ted in our prayers this morning. Also, we want to be remembering Mike Willard's father, Ken, who has got some health issues that he's dealing with and some surgery that is coming up on the 14th of this month. So we want to be in prayer for him as well. I'm sure there are many other things that are on the hearts and minds of the people this morning. These altars are open to you. Would you stand with me as we prepare our hearts this morning? And indeed, as we sing, if you have need of a place just to lay your burdens down, to lift up things to the Lord, you feel free indeed to come and find a place of prayer. No one will bother you, but you'll have time with God as we join our voices together then in prayer.
Lord, we praise You. Lord, we praise You. Lord, we praise You. We praise You, Lord. Lord, we love You.
Indeed grateful for the opportunity, the privilege of prayer. We thank You for this Lord's Day, that even though that it's cold outside and the winds blow and they cut through the protection that we have in our clothing, that we're reminded of the warmth of Jesus Christ that abides within our heart and our life all the time. We thank You, Father, for the promise of Your presence. We thank You, Father, for Your guarantee of love no matter what this morning. And Father, we pray that you would help us to be able to extend that love to those that we come in contact with. Father, we thank you for a place to come and to worship you, a place to fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, a place to look into your word and learn what your heart's desire is, and to do our best to make that our heart's desire. Father, we indeed thank you for the opportunity to reach out to others. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to give us a wisdom and guidance and direction as to how to carry on ministry outside the four walls of this church. As much as we are thankful for the times of gathering on Sundays and Wednesdays, Father, we want to be Jesus to our world 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And so, Lord, help us to know how best we can commit ourselves to the work of the kingdom through the church. And that, Father, we first and foremost will have a current and up-to-date personal relationship with you, but that we will commit ourselves into the service of the kingdom, and that we will, Father, make ourselves available for your use, that you might accomplish your kingdom purposes. Father, we thank you for the message of holiness today. Thank you for the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the ability to help us to make right decisions, to live correctly. Father, we pray that you indeed would empower us, that we might overcome any temptation that comes our way, that we might indeed live victoriously, and, Father, that we might be obedient to your word and to your will this morning. We thank you that we have the opportunity to lay our burdens down before you. Father, to know that you indeed are the great physician, and that you are able to heal and to help our physical challenges today. Father, we know that you also are the counselor, the paraclete, the one who walks alongside, and that you indeed wrap your arm around us, that you encourage us with your presence and your power in our lives. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to facilitate our emotional healing as we go through challenges from time to time. Father, we thank you most of all today that you indeed can deal with sin, and that you can forgive us, and that you can cleanse us, and you can empower us, Father, to live rightly, that we might indeed have the promise and the assurance of a home in heaven. Lord, we are grateful and thankful for all these things, for all of the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, physically, materially, spiritually, all of that is undeserved, but we are appreciative of and grateful for today. Thank you, Father, for your presence in this place, for this time to commit ourselves afresh and anew to you. We pray, Father, that you indeed would have your will and your way, and that you would be lifted up and glorified in all that we say and do. We pray, Father, for the Financial Peace University classes that will start tonight. We pray, Father, that you would be in the midst of that, and that we might know how to honor you with what you have blessed us with. Father, we pray that you would be with us as we start Pastor's Welcome classes next week. And Father, that for the next 4 or 5 weeks in the Sunday School Hour, that we can indeed help people to understand what the Church of the Nazarene is about and what we believe, and indeed, Father, for them to know if this is the place indeed that you want them to grow and to serve. Lord, we just are thankful for everyone that you bring into our midst, and we desire for them to have a knowledge and understanding of who we are and what we're about. And so, Father, we thank you for these ministries, and we pray for those things that will take place out into the future. Help us to continue to reach out with the good news of the love of Jesus Christ, and we'll give you praise for it all. And we give you all praise and honor and glory today in the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right. Indeed, the Lord is good. We thank you for all of you who are covering bases and helping to do things in the midst of the absence of those who are sick and various other things that are going on. Thank you so much for filling in and helping out and assisting in these times. I have been in a struggle over the last 24 hours. We appreciate the time off that you have given us, and having some vacation time between the holidays. And And then as we thought and prayed, even as we were away from the office and tried to come in Friday and pull some things together that we felt like the Lord was dealing with us about, some challenges perhaps for the new year. Last night God began to... to deal with my heart. And I don't know, I'm sure that all of us understand trying to make decisions and trying to find God's direction and God's will about what to do in given circumstances and situations. And it doesn't, I wouldn't say that it happens often, but it has happened at different times and different places in my ministry where I would work hard and invest myself and think that I was following indeed God's direction and preparing a message and putting it together and ready to deliver, and only to have God say, that's not what I want to do. And it puts you in a little bit of a quandary at that point, that you're trying to make sure that you're hearing the voice of God and not necessarily that you're just dealing with emotions or things that have happened maybe in the course of time that turn your mind and attention in other directions. Because my desire when I stand in this place from service to service is simply to be a mouthpiece. It's not to operate any personal agendas or try to persuade people to think what I want them to think, but it is indeed to try to have the heart and the voice of God. And we felt like we were headed that direction as we went through the week and got into the office on Friday and began to put things on paper. Felt good about the direction we were going, obviously. Printed it in the bulletin that way. And only to have God begin to challenge my heart and my mind. And so what I want to try to share with you this morning is not well researched. It has not had a lot of preparation in terms of study time involved. I could show you all these real pretty notes that I have that coordinate with what's in your bulletin. But if I did that, I probably wouldn't be doing what I believe God has moved my heart and mind, and I'll just tell you that I'd rather be obedient and kind of be out on a limb. Than to give a speech. And so, thank you, Mike, for all of the preparation to do all the things, and to Sue for preparing slides and all those kinds of things, which will be of no use to me this morning. So we're going to kind of wing it. The Lord did begin to deal with me about this soon enough that I kind of gave Mike a little bit of heads up, but he's kind of flying by the seat of his pants back there to help me. Every time we come to a new year, I think for everyone there is the sense of excitement about new beginnings, an opportunity to start afresh. Ben talked about making a resolution not to make a resolution. To be quite honest, probably the majority of people would be better off in that situation rather than feeling like they failed to follow through on what they thought they were committed to in the first place. Life is full of challenges. We spent time over the holidays, as you did, with family and friends. We had Christmas multiple times in order to get everybody in and to connect with all of the families that we have and are a part of, even to the point that yesterday we were out of town doing one more Christmas with one more part of the extended family. In every one of those situations, even to the point of getting home and receiving phone calls last night, and as I've observed postings on the internet and things that come from various ones of you, I think it's true that at least for our church in this moment of time, for our people, life is full of challenges. I can't think of a time that we as a church or as a people, as families within the church, need God any more than we need Him now. To help us as we've gone through the various stages. I can only tell you is, you know, when I was in elementary school, this stuff didn't bother me. I let my mom and dad worry about it. I let them pay the bills. I let them take the news of things that were happening within the family. And yes, from time to time we would receive the report and we would have some perception or understanding that someone was going through a time. But when I was really young, they just seemed really old. And I just assumed that's what happened with really old people. You know, that was life. That's how it happens. And I was pretty much consumed with whatever was on my mind. But over the last 10 days, 2 weeks, you know, we've been confronted with, made aware of, all kinds of news, whether it's news about people we know personally, or whether it's news that we see on the television or read on the internet about world situations or conditions. I don't know about you, but I see things and I hear things that weigh heavy on me. I saw this past week some information about an impending economic crash in the United States of America. And along with it, there was a series of DVDs that would tell you how to avoid all that. So I know there was a certain amount of marketing to that. But at the same time, there were elements of truth to the fact that we have lived in excess for a long time and it's catching up with us. And that there are implications to that that will have impact on the world economy. If America should fall, then it's going to have an impact on the world economy as well. And then I can bring it back down to the fact that I think about situations that exist within the church family. For I got back at the end of the week to find out that Ted indeed was in the hospital. And you know as well as I do that there's not too many things that keep Ted out of the sound booth. He's been there for a long time. Every Sunday. And you just know that short of a vacation or whatever that they don't take very often, he's there. And to go from him always being there to finding out that he's in CCU in the hospital trying to breathe, you know, that's a big stretch. That changes a lot of things. It changes. You don't understand sometimes the amount of things that other people do until they're not there to do them and you got to get somebody else to help cover them. There are things going in. We received news in the past several days about people that we went to high school with. People that were my friends. That maybe I've not talked to personally in several years, but to hear the news of some of the things that they're facing with their kids when their kids are the same age as my kids. It's like, what can I do? I mean, I know I can pray, but it's like, what can we do to help those people around us that are hurting? What can we do with seemingly unavoidable down-the-road crises nationally or internationally? What do I do? How do I deal with these things when the news comes into my own house? You know, my daughter who's expecting at Christmas time was supposed to be here and had permission from the doctor to make the trip. And then just out of the blue, a couple of days before Christmas, got to feeling like it wouldn't be a very good thing to be very far away from the hospital. And indeed, all of that is calmed down now and everything is going just normal and on schedule. But for a couple of days, it was kind of shaky there, and we didn't know what we might get a phone call on Christmas Day. And so therefore, all of Christmas changed because my daughter and her husband did not get to come home. And while technology is great, because we can do things now that we couldn't do, and on Christmas night, when my son finally arrived from California and the rest of the family was gathered around, I had a laptop computer hooked up to a TV sitting in my living room so I could see my daughter and talk to her and she could see us open our presents. That's a great thing. But the anxiety that at any moment she might say, I'm on my way, you know, for a period of time, we couldn't plan anything. You know, we were just kind of in limbo. And a lot of times there are all kinds of situations and circumstances in life that put us in that kind of limbo. It's hard to plan specific things because everything hinges on this over here. And so we get to the place where we have anxiety because what do we do now? How do we plan? We were going to do this, but now we can't do that. And what does that mean for us? And what does it mean for the people that we love and are connected to? And all I can tell you is, life is full of challenges, and sometimes along the way, you get beat up a little bit. That's real life. Everything doesn't go always the way you want. Something that came to my mind was the passage of Scripture in the 23rd Psalms, where it talks about the shepherd. It says that you anoint my head with oil. And that's in reference to shepherds caring for sheep. And I just very quickly was able to grab this piece of information. This all just transpired this morning, so this is not well put together. But it's what I believe God has the word for us today. As we think about that verse 5 of the 23rd Psalms, it says, He anoints my head with oil. David is reminding us of what a shepherd does for his sheep. This is different than the anointing that David received as king. This is daily. This is ordinary. And then I thought this was interesting. Obviously, when you hear all this, you'll know that I haven't thought this through, but here it comes. There are three reasons for sheep to receive daily anointing of oil. Number one, bugs. This will thrill some of you before lunch. Sheep are particularly susceptible to flies landing on their noses. These flies travel up the sheep's nose and lay eggs, which turn into worms that can burrow into the animal's brain. You have to know this in order to get this. Then the sheep will bang their heads, trying to get rid of the irritation. They can die from this. So each day the shepherd pours oil on the sheep's nose and the flies slide out instead of flying in. I don't know about you, but I certainly have a lot of daily irritations buzzing around my head. Rude actions, bothersome comments, pesky mishaps. Some of those get in my head and cause negative thoughts. Angry, fearful, sinful thoughts. And if I allow them to burrow deeper into my mind, they become part of my life and can destroy me. But I have a good shepherd, and he promises if I come to him every day, he will anoint my head with oil. I can come back to him many times a day, and I do, in prayer. I bring the shepherd all the little irritations and bothersome thoughts that cause me discomfort before they can gain a foothold in my mind. Two, butts. As in butting heads. Sheep will butt heads with one another to gain position and to assert authority. Male sheep especially like to butt heads, but in people we all do that, don't we? A shepherd knows his sheep will clash sometimes, and he can't prevent it, so he puts oil or grease on their heads, and when they clash, their heads glance off without doing as much harm to one another. Our good shepherd knows we can't always avoid disagreements. But praying with and for another is one way we can keep from harming each other when we butt heads. Number three, cuts. Sheep live outdoors with barbed fences, thistles, rocks, sticks, predators. It's not a kind, gentle setting. Even the greenest pastures have hazards. So shepherds check their sheep each day, sometimes morning and evening, to look for wounds that need attention. Adding oil to the wound brings healing. We live in a dangerous world too, and we get wounded sometimes daily. One of the worst sayings from childhood is, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me," and it's just not true. Words can and they do hurt us. They cause wounds that can go much deeper than sticks and stones, wounds that only the Good Shepherd can heal. Each of us is wounded by all kinds of things, and Jesus is attentive to all our wounds, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. Daily, honest communication with Jesus is the best way to find healing. I want to remind you, as we think about this first thought, indeed, that life is full of challenges, irritations, wounds, things that affect everyone. There is not one human being on the face of this earth that does not have to deal with this stuff in some measure, some in greater measure. Sometimes the choices that we make early on in life affect us for a lifetime. And no matter how saved we are, we can't get away from all of those circumstances or situations. There's ongoing stuff. Life is full of challenges. But can I remind you this morning of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. "But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." And so we are reminded that life is full of challenges. Matter of fact, we can look back to John chapter 16. And in the book of John chapter 16, in verse 33, Jesus Himself spoke and said, "I have told you these things so that you may, in me, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." Now, how many of you have heard at any time, I'm not saying you believe it, but how many of you have heard someone speak about, or you've read about, or heard someone on the TV or radio say that when you become a Christian, all that there is there, if you're living right, is prosperity. So life's going to be all good. How many of you ever read about anybody in the Bible historically that walked with God that was true of? How many men of biblical history, how many women of biblical history can you read accounts of that those people did not encounter difficulty? That they did not encounter challenges? That indeed sometimes they had great suffering. And we can put right at the top of the list, Jesus Himself. I mean, you would have thought He's the very Son of God. He is God, part of the triune Godhead. He came here in flesh, and from day one He had difficulty. Couldn't find a place to be born. People never believed Him. They thought of Him as an overachiever and a smart-aleck guy who supposedly knew more than they knew what to do with, who could perform miracles. They constantly did not like Him because He did not fit their mold and He did not follow their practice. And He said and did things that got people's attention because they were true and real and life-changing. And the church hated Him for it. Crucified Him. But He endured all that for one reason. Well, two reasons maybe. One, to please His Father. Two, to save His brothers and sisters. There was a point and a purpose to His life. I'm convinced that if we indeed are trying to live as God would have us to live, that there are going to be people out there who are not going to be happy about us, because they were never happy about Him. If we proclaim biblical truth, if we live by biblical standards, there are going to be people who are not going to be happy. Because you know what makes a crooked stick look crooked? A straight stick. If every stick was crooked when you laid them down beside each other, nobody'd know the difference. But when darkness comes against light, when straight comes against crooked, it's obvious. Every one of us has to deal with the Word and with the truth of Jesus Christ, the reality of His life. That's the standard. It's the only standard by which we compare ourselves. And as a result of that, the world does not like us, does not care for the church. We had in more now than maybe any other time in history, the church is in disdain. Partly our own fault because we haven't rightly represented Jesus always. But people realize that they either have to conform to Jesus Christ and to the Word, or they have to admit that they're wrong. And people don't like to admit they're wrong. And people don't like to change. Life is full of challenges. There is constantly going to be things out there that happen that are not the way we'd like for them to happen. But I believe that God has a direction for us. I believe that God has an assurance for us. I believe that God has a word for us this day that no matter what the challenge is that we face, whether it's a personal challenge, whether it's physical, whether it has to do with our family, whether it has to do with people we know, whether it has to do with the world economy and situation, that we can understand our God is still in control. And these are passages of Scripture that more than likely you have heard multiple times as you have been in the church through your life. But I just remind you of them this morning because I believe they are the kind of Scriptures that we need to know that when we are facing difficulties and when we are facing challenges and when the devil is trying to get us down and defeat us and destroy us, that these are the things that we need to know because they change our perspective on how we view life and how we deal with it. Joshua chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, giving orders to the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go since you have never been this way before. How many of you have ever been in 2015? Well, you have for a few days now, but... But obviously, how many of you have ever had a 2015 before the 1st of January? Now, granted, life goes on. Some of us are in the same job positions. We live in the same house. We have the same spouses and kids. And there's a lot of things that are constant that we're dealing with. But isn't part of the deal that we have something new to deal with? And that perhaps something new indeed can be something different. That some of those things that are constants, some of those things that are the same and we desire to be the same can be better, can be improved upon, can supersede even what maybe was great last year, that the potential of something new has promise. And we have the assurance that Almighty God, who knows everything, will go before us. The Ark of the Covenant represented to the Jewish nation the presence of God. That was God's presence with His people. And so indeed, as they follow the Ark of the Covenant, what they're doing is they're following God. And isn't that what every one of us needs to do? Isn't the truth of the matter that every one of us ought to surrender our lives and our wills, and that the best thing that could happen for us in 2015 is that we would follow God without question? That we would line our lives up with His Word without question. Exception. And then we would have the assurance of His provision and protection and presence. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19 says this: "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." If we go from the old to the new in the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 3. Verses 12 through 16. "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if at some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained." And so we have this thought that we don't have to allow the enemy to continue to hang our past over our head. That indeed, one of the great benefits of God's grace, mercy, and forgiveness is that the past is behind us. Yes, sometimes there are ongoing consequences that we deal with, but we deal with them in the hope of the help of the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes things are wiped out, put away. Not that God can't remember them, but that He chooses not to hold them against us. And see, that's where a lot of us struggle in our relationships with people. We think in order to be like God, that we are supposed to be able to forget that people hurt us. That we can't remember that. If we're going to be like God, He forgets. God, the word forget in the Greek does not mean I can't remember. That's not what it means. The word forget in the Greek literally means I choose not to hold what I know against you. And we can do that with the help of God. We can take what we know and what hurts us and what makes the hair on the back of our neck stand up, what makes us sick at our stomach, what creates anxiety for us. We can take all those things and put them under the blood of Jesus Christ and say, "Yeah, I can remember. But I don't want to think about it all the time. Don't want to dwell on it. No, there's no good that comes from it. And so just as God forgave me when I didn't deserve it, I forgive you whether you deserve it or not, and I move on." And I begin to think about things that do matter. I begin to press toward the future. I begin to look at the things that God wants me to take hold of, and I reach out to get a hold of those things. How many times have you ever watched some kind of a movie or television show or read some kind of a book when a lifeline was thrown to someone? It didn't always land exactly in the palm of their hands clutched against their chest. When a lifeline was thrown to someone, oftentimes they had to reach out to get a hold of what was extended to them. Maybe they had to put forth a little effort to get to the life vest or to reach the rope or whatever it was. There had to be a little bit of effort on their part to say, "I accept the gift." And God is saying to us, "I can throw you a lifeline. I can get you where you need to go. But you got to reach out." There has to be some inclination on our part to say, "God, I want you. I want what you're offering. I want to move ahead. I want to get out of the muck and the mire. I want to get away from the things that are holding me back here. I want to move on to something new and different where I've never been before and never experienced. I want what you've got for me." It's true that life is full of challenges, and there are all kinds of news that we can get that depresses us and discourages us and challenges us. But as we're reminded that indeed God has a fresh beginning for us, that we can get away from the past, the things that weigh us down and our burdens in our lives, that we indeed can find those burdens lifted and have a new view. By simply submitting our lives to God's lives. And then let me just remind you the reason we should do that. What kind of God are we talking about? You know, there's a lot of people who make promises, and the truth of the matter is there are a lot of empty promises in life. There are a lot of people who can't deliver on their promise. That's not the case with our God. I remind you of what the Scripture tells us about our Heavenly Father. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17. Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. How many things fall under nothing? Everything. Nothing is too hard for God. And then we've just come out of the Christmas season and we're reminded of that passage of Scripture within the Christmas story in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. For nothing is impossible with God. Right in the midst of the presentation of the pregnancies of Elizabeth and of Mary. The miraculous. The humanly impossible, possible by the hand of God. And so when life seems tough, there's hope. Nobody said it wasn't a long journey. Sometimes it doesn't come instantaneously. We have one this morning sitting in our midst who can testify to that. Lonnie, when that old bull mauled you over, it wasn't the next day that you got up and walked out of the hospital, was it? It was a long journey. But things that doctors said would never happen. Indeed, times when people thought life would be taken from you. You sit here today, you walked into this building of your own accord and your own power because of the hand of God in your life and His healing power and His healing presence. Life is full of challenges. Every one of you can talk about some kind of a challenge that's come into your life, some much larger than others. We all need hope. We all need that thing that continues to say, it can be done, it can happen. God is different than everybody else. He indeed is more powerful. He indeed has more knowledge. He indeed is able to change my life and my circumstance and situation. And I remind you of these passages this morning, both in the Old and New Testament, that God indeed is that kind of God and always has been. For we are reminded that in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, beginning at verse 29, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. And then we look over into the New Testament in the writings of Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 5. Therefore, the first five verses, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. We rejoice in our sufferings because we know that sufferings produce perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. And then we can move over to the same book in the 15th chapter. Verse 4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Down to verse 13 of that same chapter. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This morning, God wants you to be encouraged by the Scriptures. whatever the challenges of life you face, whether it's challenges yourself. I'm facing challenges right now. I don't know if you noticed it or not. I was walking down to put my tithe in the offering plate, and my knee went out on me. I wasn't sure if I was still going to be standing by the time I got to Troy, or if I was just going to kind of roll up at his feet and worship for a while. It embarrasses me. It frustrates me. It makes me upset. I can't help people do things. I can't lift things anymore. I can't go up steps with anything in my hands or arms hardly at all. That bothers me. I thought when I was 75 that might be the deal, but in my 50s, that's crazy. That's not the way it was supposed to be. It's not the way I want it to be. I still want to run and play softball. I still want to get on the basketball court with the guys, and those things just don't happen anymore, because if they do, I will be laying in a bed somewhere for several days. It's the way it is. But that doesn't mean life is over. It doesn't mean there's not things that God has for me. There is hope. I just have to recalculate a little bit. I have to resituate a little bit. God has a purpose and a plan for my life, and I know that there is hope. Yes, there are challenges, but there's hope, because God can do the impossible, and nothing is too hard for Him. And He has a plan for my life, and I want to live in the joy of Jesus. Life is still fun. We can still enjoy people, even though they wound us sometimes and there are bugs up our noses. And we beat our head against the wall because they irritate us so much. That's real life. That's people. That's personalities. That's because we all are in constant change. And the truth of the matter is, there's probably somebody beating their head against the wall over you. You just never know. But somewhere along the way, the grace of God says to us, you know, we need to live the kind of life where if we find out that we irritated somebody, we can go to them and say, I'm sorry. We can apologize. That we can say, hey, I didn't mean for that to happen. I didn't know that's how it affected you. That's how the world works. If we're willing to say, forgive me, I'm sorry, and truly mean it to the point that we change and try not to repeat that behavior again, life's pretty good. We're just trying to escape somebody's consternation with us, then we say a lot of things we don't mean. And we don't do anything about it. Lots of times we're just sorry we got caught, not sorry that we need to change. We have to get beyond conviction into repentance. Become the people that God wants us to be. But the deal is, God will help us. God is for us, who can be against us? Stand with me this morning. Life is full of challenge, but we have a God who has promised us hope. There is always hope when we rest in God. The question is, are you trying to handle the challenges of life in your own wisdom and in your own strength? Or have you indeed surrendered and yielded your life to God and say, I can't do this. I need your help. In an instant of time, God wants to embrace you and give you the assistance that you need and that only He can give. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. These altars are open to you. I just wonder before we go if there's anyone here that just needs a place to pray. A place to say, God, I need your help. The challenges of life are kind of heavy this morning. I'm hearing news about things within my family that disturb me. I don't know what to do. I want to be able to help. I want to be able to minister to those people. I want to be able to share the love of Jesus Christ. We have a whole lost and dying world around us that needs to hear that God loves them, that Jesus died for them, and indeed their sins can be forgiven and they can have the assurance and the hope of a home in heaven. We need to be telling people this. We need to be offering people the hope that God has for them. Just wonder this morning if there's anyone here that the burden is heavy. You don't know how you're going to face the challenges, and you just need the assurance that indeed God is with you. And you want to live in His hope and the encouragement of His word this day. Anyone like that? Anyone that just needs a place of prayer today? My prayer is that God indeed has spoken to your heart, and with these scriptures that we have shared, that He reminds you of things you probably have already known. Maybe if you didn't remember where they were, that you wrote down a reference, and indeed will use these scriptures to keep you through the challenges of this life. Just know that God is for you. 2015 can be the greatest year of your life as you live it in Christ. Just don't hold back or out on Him. Surrender wholeheartedly to whatever His plan for you is. And I know that you'll enjoy God's presence and His blessing along the way. Brother Brett Caldwell, prayer, closing prayer for us, please.